and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. How was your weekend? How's your week starting out? Again, welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you on board. Did you get any rest over the past few days? Did you get in any good recreation over the past few days? Well, I tell you what, if you have any big plans for the next few days, really do some serious planning. In some parts of the South, some parts of the country, still some storms. And I know in the southern part of the U.S. of A, going to be introduced to Mr. Michael. Yeah, another tropical storm, another storm coming on. In fact, some of the rain is starting even as I speak. So anyway, just want to see how you're doing. Would you join me? Regardless of your ethnicity, you all know that I like to really, really have us engaging with each other across and within ethnic lines. Yes, let's not just be aware of what's happening with members of our own ethnicity. Let's really reach across and find out what's happening with members of other ethnicities, other ethnic groups, communities. Of course, we got to reach across gender. In fact, I'll still be talking about women in leadership this coming Sunday. I think it's great. I've said this before. I really think it is great that men and women can be found in leadership positions and lower level leadership as well as higher level leadership positions. I think that's great. I'll be honest with you. And this is one of the things that we're talking about on Sundays when we discuss women in leadership. I'm not willing to say which gender makes up the better leaders. And mainly because I have no idea. I don't. And I really don't know how to judge that. I mean, I'm fairly certain we could come up with some criteria to look at, to judge by. But I'm thinking about a couple of things. A list of criteria that will really cover the gamut. I mean, really take us across the boards, looking at enough items, enough of what it goes into to truly be a good leader, that we can really get a good handle on that. Now, that said, I think that we could probably, if we go to various organizations, and I'm thinking, for example, like Gallup. But my guess is if we would need to do a lot of things. For instance, for years and years and years, for decades, we really didn't do a good job of measuring people's total intelligence quotient, IQ. So many things that were being overlooked that really have to do with IQ. For a long time, people only looked at what was happening academically, you know, how well a person could score on certain tests, academic-oriented tests. And then people began to realize, wait a minute, there's social intelligence also. That's true. And there is musical intelligence. Some people are just going to be better, stronger musicians than others, even with training. How about spiritual intelligence? You see what I'm saying? There's just so much to consider. If we're going to consider a person's total intelligence, there's so much that has to be considered. And I think that when it comes to leadership, there is so much that needs to be considered that we would probably overlook. Now, I mentioned Gallup. I think that if we were to go about the business of doing a thorough job of really measuring leadership ability, we would need to look at a number of things that we've been talking about, social skills, emotional intelligence. A lot of people like to call it EQ for emotional quotients. IQ, intelligence quotients. Social skills, the ability of the leader to really connect with the people he or she is leading. We would need to consider cultural matters. We would need to consider ethnic matters. And bring all of that into the picture. But we would also need to look at the numbers. I think that one of the big challenges when it comes to comparing women and men in leadership positions is the fact that we need to be able to have a good number, a fair number, and I do mean literally number, of men CEOs in Fortune 500 companies to compare to women CEOs in Fortune 500 companies. We need to be able to make fair comparisons of men and women in leadership positions in Fortune 1000 companies. We would need to have large enough numbers of men and women in leadership positions in mid-sized businesses and in small businesses, in nonprofit organizations. Because there can be some differences between the way for-profits and nonprofits are run. Women and men in leadership positions in charitable organizations. And again, looking at all those criteria. And because it could be tempting to say, well, you know, we only, when it comes to really connecting with the people they employ, women tend to get better numbers than men. Well, I know that there may be a way to go about the business of account taking into account that you have many, many, many more men in those positions than women. But by and large, we need to be able to make sure that we are truly comparing apples to apples. But then one of the most important questions that I would want us to answer as well is why? What would be the main reason that we would want to indicate that men are better leaders overall or that women are better leaders overall? If it's just that we can give one gender or the other bragging rights, then that would be a waste of time. That kind of comparison would be an absolute waste of time, money, and energy. Now, on the other hand, if it could be shown that one gender is significantly better at leadership than the other, then we need to find out, number one, what makes that members of that gender better leaders. And secondly, get a grasp of best practices so that we could find out, okay, what is it that these leaders are doing that really makes them stand out, that makes this group truly significantly better as leaders, so that we could then take those qualities and start encouraging others and empowering others to adopt those qualities so that more and more people would become better leaders. So beyond that, for me personally, it's just not that important to try to reach a decision personally as to whether I think males are better leaders or females are better leaders. It is important to me that whoever is going to be leading, lead well. It is important to me that whoever's going to be in a leadership position be a good role model for others who are being guided by them, led by them, etc. And I feel that way regardless of whether the leader is male or female, whether they work in a religious setting, whether they work for a nonprofit, whether they work with for-profit. And don't forget our parents. from time to time I mention this, we need to make sure that our children are seeing good leadership in their parents. And so that's going to mean, parents, we need to make sure that, number one, we are really living good moral lifestyles. Now, get me wrong. That's not to say that if a parent lives, or both parents live, immoral lifestyles, that the children are going to somehow not want to follow their lead, follow their example. Parents can be liars. And they can teach their children to be liars, whether by example and or verbal guidance. Hey, this is how you get what you want out of life. And teach them how to be dishonest and deceptive. And I mean, we don't have to look very long to see that. All we got to do is turn our minds towards Washington, D.C. And we see that that's true. Sometimes it's a matter of thinking about what we know about what's happening in some of the lives of some of the families in our own communities, and how, in many cases, I'm not saying most, certainly not all, but in many cases, you have parents who live criminal lifestyles, and their children, some of their children, live criminal lifestyles, following after mom or dad or both. So we need to be thinking about the significance, the importance of our leadership abilities right there at home. Yes, indeed, right there at home. We need to be showing our children good character. And of course, if we're being deceptive, it doesn't matter that we pretend to have good character. I mean, by, you know, automatically, if the show of good character is nothing but a show, then we're showing them bad character. We're showing them how to be deceptive. No, let's be real. Empower our children to at least have a fighting chance to have to develop good character, good mindsets about life, good dispositions about how to live well in life. And when I say well, physically, morally, mentally, spiritually, live well. Truth be told, I think that that leadership, good leadership, should start at home. I think that that's where our children should first see good leadership, at home. It's not the only place. They need to see it at school, no doubt. But I think the first place and the most important place for them to see it is at home. They need to see parents who sometimes disagree, but develop skill at fairly, honestly, intelligently resolving the differences, the conflicts. They need to see parents who, as husband and wife, demonstrate a love for each other, a mutual respect, Please give some thought to this, too. I know that there are times when we talk about love, and I know that a lot of people say that, you know, they point out when they turn to Ephesians chapter 5 that the Bible only says that the man should love the wife, the husband should love the wife. Says the wife should respect the husband. And those are the words used in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. But here's the important thing. We shouldn't just take one passage of scripture and assume that that one passage says everything that is to be said about the husband-wife relationship. It is true that in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33, the man is told he should love the wife. The wife is told she should respect her husband. But when you think about Genesis chapter 2 and the fact that we are told that the man will leave husband, I'm sorry, parents, cleave to his wife, and the two, the husband and wife, shall become one flesh. Husband and wife shall become one flesh. Husband becomes one flesh with the wife, and the wife becomes one flesh with the husband. That has to do with love, and that has to do with mutual love, and that both of them are becoming one flesh. They are loving each other, and they are respecting each other. You can see the love in the affection and the passion that they're to have for each other and with each other in becoming one flesh. But you also see the respect that they have for each other in that they both make it their business to keep the power of that kind of intimate passion confined to their relationship, and they let no one else mess that up. That is a mutual respect. That is also a mutual love. And I say that to say this, our children need to see husband and wife, they need to see both of their parents loving each other and respecting each other. That helps to increase the chances. I'm not saying it guarantees, but it certainly increases the chances that if they grow up to eventually marry, they will have a good example that had been set before them that they will hopefully follow in their married years. And hopefully the person that they marry will have an opportunity to engage in good premarital counseling with their fiancé before they get married. And the two can talk with both sets of parents and get some good clues and cues from the parents as to how to successfully develop a beautiful marriage. And then they in turn, those children in turn, set a good example for their children. That is good leadership, good positive role model. All right, when we come back, let's talk about leadership some more. We're going to narrow it down to something that's being done to spotlight women in leadership. I'll be right back.